Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing on this lovely Sunday morning? 9 a.m. gathering. Are you good? Are you happy to be in church this morning? Okay. Oh, the majority of you are happy to be in church this morning. That's great. That's awesome. I love that. Well, if we haven't met before, my name is Sadara, and I have the privilege of being on staff here at The Rocks Church, and I also have the privilege of speaking to you for the next little while. Now, as we get started, I just wanted to know, out of curiosity, who here, by a show of hands, managed to make it to The Rocks Celebrate Christmas last weekend? Oh, wow, that's so cool. The majority of us came. Did you love it? Did you enjoy yourselves? Was it good? Yeah, it was phenomenal. Yeah, come on. That deserves a round of applause. It was phenomenal, wasn't it? I don't know how they do it every single year, but the team worked so hard. You know, there were hours and hours of rehearsals, not just by the performers, but by also the people who work behind the scenes. You know, the lighting crew, the production guys, the sound crew, the CG guys, the backstage managers. So many people put so much into making that production happen. And, you know, I was doing tickets on the door for all four gatherings, and I actually had a chance to chat to a lot of the people that came, and I also saw the faces of the people as they walked out of the auditorium, and it was absolutely amazing. Everybody was so blown away by what they saw, and so, you know, as a church, we should be so proud that we're part of such a creative, such an incredible community of people, and we're part of a church, actually, that wants to shine the light of Jesus to people who haven't seen it yet. And, you know, it's awesome that we had nearly 2,000 people across that Sunday come and watch and be a part of this gathering. Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, we have some incredible stories coming out of that Sunday. And it's such a privilege for us to be a part of this community, isn't it? And this morning, as Pastor Daniel has already said, I'm going to be continuing to talk about the theme of TRCC last week, the light of the world. And as we get started this morning, why don't you bow your heads and let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that your presence is already here. Thank you, God, that as Pastor Daniel said, none of us are here by accident. We're not here by coincidence, but we're here because you have a message. You have something that you want to say to us, specifically to where we're at. And Father, I just pray that you open up our hearts this morning to see Jesus again. Holy Spirit, would you come and make these words real in our lives? Would they take deep root in our hearts so that as we leave this place, we would go away changed? We would not be the same, but we would have encountered something of you and something of your presence. And everybody who agrees with me, say together, amen, amen. Amazing. Well, Christmas is really my favorite time of the whole year. I have to admit, Christmas is my favorite, especially since I moved to Australia. Because you see, Christmas is my favorite holiday of the year, and summer is my favorite season of the year. So the fact that I get to have Christmas in the summertime, my mind is blown. I am literally overjoyed by that. An Aussie Christmas, there's nothing quite like it. And today, I brought something to show you. I mean, it has really nothing to do with my message, but I couldn't resist. You see, Dev is my husband. He's a dentist, and he had this work Christmas party on Friday. And at their work Christmas party, they do this game where they have a secret Santa, but they get to swap their secret Santa presents. It's all a bit confusing, but it works. And he came back home on Friday night with this guy. Get a load of that. How cute is this guy? To me, this is an Aussie Christmas. You got Santa in board shorts, carrying a surfboard, wearing sunglasses. I mean, I'm like, does it get any better than that? And wait, it actually does. Wait for it. I mean, how amazing is that? I've got to stop it because this distracted me the entire weekend from my preach prep. I just couldn't stop looking at it. This is an Aussie Christmas, an Aussie Santa Claus. I love it. I'm going to give it back to Yvonne because I will be distracted for the rest of my time. And so I love an Aussie Christmas. I love the warmth. I love the summer. You see, I spent a lot of Christmases in England and I had snowy, white, cold Christmases. And do you know what? They were pretty magical as well because, you know, you'd kind of bundle up with your scarves and your hats and your coats and you'd go down to the Christmas markets and you'd sip hot chocolate by the fireplace and we'd, you know, watch the snow falling and we'd go, well, I say skiing, but I kind of slid on my front all the way down a hill. And, you know, we'd go caroling in Lincoln Cathedral by the candlelight. And to be honest, that was pretty magical as well. But I think Christmas is magical, whether it's hot or whether it's cold. I just love Christmas. I love when the Christmas lights go up in the city. I love when the Christmas carols start playing on the radio. I love when the Christmas movies start coming out on the Hallmark Channel, the best Christmas movies, also on Netflix. And, you know, those little Santa Claus, Santa Clauses keep coming out at Woolies. It's the best time of the year. And Christmas truly feels like it's the most wonderful time of the year. The most wonderful time of the year. That's what they tell us, isn't it? Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year. And yet, perhaps you're sat here this morning, and when you hear that statement, Christmas, the most wonderful time of the year, it hangs a little bit heavy on your heart. Because you see, while Christmas can be the most wonderful time of the year for some people, for you, as you look around your life, as you look around your family, at your finances, at your health, it doesn't seem to be all that wonderful. Because the truth is that Christmas can be a really exhausting time for a lot of people. I mean, think about it. Family tensions are magnified, financial burdens are greater. For some of us here, it's our first Christmas dealing with the loss of a loved one. Perhaps you're here and we're talking about family at Christmas, but your family is far away and you miss them during this season. Perhaps for you, there's some job uncertainty. Perhaps there are some health concerns. You see, none of those things go away just because the Christmas carols start. Everybody's Christmas doesn't look like a Hallmark movie, does it? So can we truly say that Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year? Is Christmas the most wonderful, most incredible, most magical time of the year? I would say, yes, it is. And with the rest of my time, I'm going to show you why. Now, there are four accounts of the life of Jesus Christ, and we call them the Gospels. We find them in the Bible, and they were written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they tell of the birth and the life and the death of Jesus Christ. And you see, in the books of Matthew and Mark and Luke, we find similar accounts of the birth of Jesus Christ. And hey, if you're here and perhaps, you know, you're here in church for the first time, maybe you're not a Christian, maybe you don't even believe in God, you've never read the Bible, can I just first say, we're so glad to have you here. You know, you are so welcome to come and be a part of our community. We're really glad you're here. But perhaps even if you're not familiar with the Bible, all of us in some way would be familiar with the story of the birth of Jesus. You see, maybe you can think back to when you were in school, or perhaps you're a parent here, and recently you went to your children's school for their nativity play, you know, where they reenact the birth of Jesus Christ. And I remember a time when I was in England, actually it was the year that I left. I have a friend in England, she's one of my best friends, her name is Gemma, and she has a little son, and I'm godmom to Solomon. And so one day in church, he came running up to me, and he was like, Dara, Dara, guess what, he calls me Dara, because he couldn't say Sidara when he was younger, so Dara was the nickname that stuck. He's like, Dara, guess what? I was like, what, Solomon? And he's like, oh, I'm going to be in my school nativity play. I was like, oh my goodness, that's amazing, Solomon. He's like, will you come and watch? I was like, of course I will, baby. I wouldn't miss it for the world. And I was like, Solomon, what are you going to be in the nativity? And he's like, oh, I know, you can guess. He's about five. I was like, okay, cool, I'm going to guess. I was like, Solomon, are you Joseph? No. Okay. Are you a shepherd? No. Okay. Are you a wise man? No. Okay. Are you a sheep that came with a shepherd? No. Okay. Oh, are you the star? No. Are you the innkeeper? No. He's getting very impatient at this point, and I'm running out of ideas. Like, how many other characters are there at the birth of Jesus? And then he goes, Dara, never mind. I'm just going to tell you because you're just taking forever to guess. I was like, yeah, that's a really good idea. And he says, in my school nativity play, Dara, I am going to be, it's so obvious, Dara, I'm going to be the chicken. I'm like, ah, of course you're going to be the chicken. Silly Dara, should have got that before. Chicken played a major part in the birth of Jesus. Yeah, of course. And there he is in his chicken costume, proud as punch, playing the chicken at the nativity story, at the birth of Jesus. And I learned a lot at that particular nativity play because there were also crabs, camels, and alligators present at the birth of Jesus. Yep, you won't find that in the Bible, will you? The nativity story that the children reenact year after year after year, we find it in the Gospels, the books written about the birth of Jesus. And like I said, in the books of Matthew and Luke, we find similar accounts of the birth of Jesus. But when you get to the last gospel, the Gospel of John, John has a different account of the birth of Jesus. And this is what he says. In John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. He's talking about Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, John doesn't give us a narration about how it happened. He doesn't tell us about the stable. He doesn't tell us about the innkeeper or the wise men or the shepherds. No, he doesn't tell us how. Instead, John tells us why. John tells us of the significance of the birth of Jesus Christ. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. You see, when Jesus was born, the Jewish people, they were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for a Savior. They were waiting for a Redeemer who was promised and prophesied years and years and years ago. They were waiting for the King of the Jews to come and save them from their plight, from their darkness, from their bondage. And 700 years before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah, he foretold this moment. And he said, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And he was talking about Jesus. When Jesus was born, this prophecy was fulfilled. The promise of God came to pass. Jesus was the promise of God, not just for the Jewish people, but Jesus was the promise of God for all humanity. And this morning, I want to encourage some of us here. This Christmas, I believe God wants to remind us that God is in the business of fulfilling his promises. God is in the business of keeping his promises. You see, the Bible says that when the word of God is spoken, when the promise of God is spoken, it doesn't return to him empty. In fact, Isaiah 55 says that, So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. The word of God, it doesn't return to him empty. And in the passage that we just read, what does John call Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word is Jesus Christ. You see, this is what we celebrate at Christmas. The spoken Word of God being fulfilled in the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. The spoken promise of God being fulfilled in the living Word of God, who is Jesus. You see, this Christmas is a reminder that God wants to remind you that actually every word, every promise that God has spoken to you, they are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. The promise has already been fulfilled in the living word of God, Jesus. Christmas is a reminder to you of the unfailing promise, the unfailing love of a heavenly Father. Christmas is a reminder that God will always come through. Christmas is a reminder that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he kept his promise then, he will keep his promise now. He's not a man that he should lie. Jesus is the greatest testimony. Christmas is the greatest picture of the faithfulness of God. And so this Christmas, whatever you're hoping for, whatever you're waiting for, whatever you're hanging on for, hang on longer. It is coming. The promise will come to pass. God will not fail you. And so when you feel your heart growing hopeless, when you get weary in the waiting, when you start doubting in the darkness, remember the significance of the birth of Jesus. Remember the significance of the promise of God, the greatest promise of God coming down to earth. It was fulfilled in him, and it will be fulfilled in him again. This Christmas, we remember and we celebrate hope, the living hope. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you see, as I was reading this verse, or these couple of verses over and over again this week, I couldn't help but I couldn't actually move away from it. I wanted to preach off a few other passages, but I kept coming back to this verse. The verse that John says, that he writes about Jesus, and he says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, Jesus himself, he confirmed John's words when he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, John writes about the birth of Jesus, and he has this revelation that Jesus is not just a light to the Jewish people, but he was a light to all of mankind, to every person from every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation. Jesus was a light, and he was the light of the whole world for all of humanity. You see, at the time that Jesus was born, the world was in darkness. That's why we needed a light to the world. That's why we needed a savior. And Jesus came so that he would become that redeemer, so that he would become that Messiah for every person who believed in him. Whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but he promises the light of life. And this life that Jesus gives, it's not just temporary, it's not just physical, it's not just passing, it's not just fleeting. The life that Jesus gives is eternal and lasting. Whoever believes in him, whoever puts their faith in him, they have this light of life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Do you know what? That's Christmas. That's Christmas right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. So that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. This is the light of life that Jesus talks about. And this life that Jesus gives is eternal and it is lasting. To whoever puts their faith, to whoever trusts, to whoever believes in Jesus. I remember the time when this first reality of Christmas became real in my life, when I actually understood and when I thought and I grappled with the fact that the deity of God, the all-powerful, the almighty, incredible, sovereign God, he left the glory and the heights of heaven to come down to take human form and became a little baby so that I could have this light of life, so that you could have the light of life. And he would eventually go and through his death on the cross, he would wipe away every sin, every mistake, every failure. He would wipe away the charge that was laid against us. And now on him was laid the iniquity. On him was laid every punishment. And you and I, we get to be free from the price and the penalty of sin. This was the greatest darkness that he freed us from. This is why we needed the light of the world to come and to free us from eternal darkness. And now as we come to this Christmas yet again, you and I, we remember that we have the light of the world, living with us. And so every challenge, every obstacle, every hardship, every difficulty, we get to look to the light of the world. We get to look to Jesus, the light that dispels darkness, the light that changes situations, the light that walks with us, the light that guides us, the light that leads us, the light that keeps shining for us over and over and over again. You see, this Christmas, Jesus, the light of the world, he wants to come and he wants to light up every part of your world that has gone dark, every part of your world that has got bruised, every part of your world that has got damaged and broken. John said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Here's the thing. The light of the world, the light that Jesus carries, it's not just a small little ember. It's not just a little ray. It's not just a trickle of light. The light that Jesus carries, it's powerful. It's all-consuming. It's a searing flame that overpowers the darkness. Here's the thing. Darkness has been defeated by light. Jesus has already won. You see, my math is not great, but for me, the equation is pretty simple. Light defeats darkness. Light always wins. Jesus always wins. And so this Christmas season, regardless of what you're faced with, regardless of what comes your way, regardless of what challenges you have to face, you can remember that because Jesus came into the world, the light of the world came into the world, he dispelled all darkness, you can overcome. Christmas is a promise that darkness won't overpower you. You have every reason to keep going, every reason to keep hoping, every reason to keep fighting, because you will overcome. Jesus, the light of the world, you have him, and he lives and he breathes inside of you. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it, and it never will. So, is Christmas the most wonderful time of the year? Is it really the most wonderful, the most glorious, the most magical time of the year? Yes, yes it is. Because Christmas is wonderful not because of family, although family is wonderful. Christmas is wonderful not because of the presents, although those are pretty wonderful too. And Christmas isn't wonderful because life is going great, because the turkey has been cooked, because the presents have been wrapped and the tree has been decorated. And equally, Christmas isn't not the most wonderful time of the year because life isn't going great, because the finances didn't come through, because the family is fighting. No, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, not because of what is or isn't happening. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year because of what has already happened. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year because of what already did happen. Jesus, the light of the world, left the glory of heaven and he came to make his home with you and me. And now, you and I have this light of life for eternity. The greatest promise, the greatest gift of God, fulfilled in the coming of his Son. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. Christmas is not about what we celebrate or how we celebrate. Christmas is about who we celebrate. Jesus, the light of the world. And let me leave you with this morning. What does light ultimately do? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with me will never walk in darkness, but they will have the light of life. What does light ultimately do? You know, when you go into a dark room and you switch on the light, what happens? You can see. Light enables us to see. And I believe this morning, for all of us here today, that's God's invitation to us. He wants to enable us to see again, to see Jesus. And I'm not talking
with just physical eyes. I'm talking about when the eyes of your heart are opened and you behold the King of Kings, when you see Jesus, when you truly see him for who he is. In the nativity story, when the wise men and the shepherds, when they came and they saw Jesus lying in a manger, what did they do? The Bible says that they bowed down, they fell down, and they worshiped him. Don't you find that strange? That grown men would worship a little baby boy in a manger? He wasn't a king, he wasn't a priest that he would be worshiped. But you see, the wise men and the shepherds, they had a revelation. Their eyes were open to who he truly was. They had a revelation that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he truly was the light of the world. And so they fell down and worshiped. Because when you see Jesus, when you behold him, you can't help but worship. You can't help but fall down. You can't help but give him glory and adoration and praise. And this Christmas season, there's an invitation to come again. There's an invitation to come and behold him for who he really is. Perhaps for some of you for the first time, or perhaps for others of us who've been Christians for years and years and years, but maybe our sight has got a bit blurry. Maybe the stuff of life has impaired our vision a bit. And this morning, there's an invitation for you to come and see him, see the King of Kings, behold the glory of the one who came. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, came down to dispel every darkness. You see, this whole season, all of Christmas is about glorifying the name of Jesus. Listen, it's in every Christmas carol we sing, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Every carol, every song is pointing to Jesus, to give glory to Jesus, to worship Jesus, the light of the world. And so this season, this Christmas season, we sing these songs and we say these words. But how many of us miss the true meaning of what they're really saying? How many of us miss Jesus himself? How many of us miss in the hustle and the bustle of Christmas, the light of the world? Today, this morning, I don't have 3 points for you to take away. I don't have things for you to do. But what I do have is an invitation for you to come. Because I believe God wants to open your heart again so that you would see him, so that you would not miss him this Christmas season. And as you allow your heart to be awakened to the glory of who he is, your heart will be moved, your strength will be renewed, and your heart will start to hope again. The prophet Isaiah said, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And on his government and his peace there will be no end. He will reign on the throne of David, and on his kingdom he will establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from that time onwards and forever and evermore. Isaiah is talking about Christmas, and the people that he's talking about are still us. For unto us a child was born, unto us a son was given, and his name is Jesus. He is the light of the world, God with us, Emmanuel. And as we come this morning, my encouragement is, as we listen to this song, would we open our hearts again? Would we allow God to come and to awaken us to the glory of who Jesus is, the wonder and the majesty of his name, so that we can truly come and bow down like the wise men did, like the shepherds did, in worship. An adoration to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.